KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas and specs. How about them savings from specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
We are doing well. I know there is a lot to get to today, and I wanted to start with this and see if it's changed position-wise. Do you feel best about the depth on this team at wide receiver, or have there been developments in training camp that you're like, I think I like this position even better?
I think the depth at wide receiver is going to force them to potentially cut somebody that they don't want to cut,
right,
or be forced to keep an extra guy at wide receiver. I think, you know, the emergence of Cameron Brown, he can't, turn a blind eye to that. And then Mingo is telling you, hey, I deserve to be on this team. So that'll be, I think, a tough decision either way, because keeping six receivers. And then, you know what, you almost can qualify it, because you can look at Kevontae Turpin as a gadget guy, but special teams, and then you have five pure wide receivers. So I think, yeah, the depth there is going to cause a problem there. And then I think there's a couple places right off the top of my head that the lack of depth is going to cause you some concern.
Now, you know what's going to happen now, Mickey, is like once Cam Brown and Mingo are like solidified, people are going to go, well, now one of our receivers is expendable. We can trade one.
What?
One of our very expensive receivers.
We can trade
it. That's what's going to happen. I'm not suggesting it. Mickey, I actually am going to go a different direction, though. What is the fate of Michael Trigg on this team?
So if he isn't practicing this week because of the injury, I think that they've got to figure out how they can get him on IR and then, so they can keep his rights. I just think that he's a guy that if you cut and you say, I'm going to put him on the practice squad, I don't know that he through waivers. So you remember the little deal that they pull, all the teams pull, is they keep somebody on the 53 initially, they cut somebody that doesn't have to go through waivers, and then after 24 hours you put that guy on IR and he'll be on there for what, 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
And then you re-sign the guy that you cut, that you told don't go anywhere else and sign. So they might be able to pull something like that with him. I just don't think somehow, some way, you want to lose his rights. But if he's not ready physically to play, I don't know how you're going to be able to keep him. Keeping more than three tight ends along with a fullback might not be doable.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. We talked about roster manipulation, and I know, obviously, Mickey, no one would ever say that a player was kind of dinged up just to find a way to circumvent the roster limits.
Well, but there are certain things you have to prove.
You're right.
To put a guy on IR. It's not like the old days where you stash guys on injured reserve. And it was like being on the taxi squad, right?
Right.
So there are some physical, how do I say it, ramifications, or you have to be able to prove it to put a guy on injured reserve.
Now, Shoddy was very effusive with his praise of the offense yesterday, especially lack of penalties. On the flip side, though, there were some particularly agitating pre-snap penalties on the defense. Did you see anything there? Is that just part of the ramp-up period, or am I supposed to now be worried about penalties yet again for the Cowboys?
Well, those guys aren't going to be playing on Sunday, right?
One of them was James Houston. I hope he's playing.
Well, he'll be a rotation guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have said that they won't be starting.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Sunday.
No, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, and okay, defensive ends are going to jump the gun. I mean, it's going to happen. But they only had four penalties, right?
Right. I think that is correct, and they were all defensive penalties, I believe?
Yeah, I believe so. So were they roughhousing or were they just offsides?
I think they were just offsides. It was more than that.
Well,
or
they got called for one
neutral
interference.
Yeah.
These interference calls they're calling in preseason are so ticky-tack that it's like, come on, let them play football.
Okay, I like that philosophy. Now, I know the same logic can be applied here, so I want to ask, not just about the game, what have you thought or what can you glean from the run defense throughout training camp? Because I know 5.2 yards per carry given up in the game doesn't look great, but again, we're talking backup on backup.
Yeah, no. I think that if we're going to kind of judge the run defense, judge it in the scrimmages.
Right.
And the scrimmages, they were really good, especially against the Rams that has, you know, they have a very good running offense, right? And I still can't get out of my mind the 273 yards they rushed for against the Cowboys in that playoff game. Was it 2018?
Yeah.
So every time I see the Rams, I see them running up and down the field, but they didn't do it in the scrimmage. And they did a pretty good job in the scrimmage against the Saints stopping the run and had been given the offense problems with their run defense. So, you know, they've upgraded the talent there. It's not the same the same guys. And, you know, as I keep pointing out, seven or eight of the starters in the first five games of the season last year aren't even on the team this year. So the run defense has improved. Now we got to see it in a game because, you know, the Giants are going to come out in that opener and try to run the football.
A fun fact about that Rams game that I will never forget. I was sitting right next to Mike Bacsik in the first Rams offensive play was a carry for like 9 yards, and he looked at me and said, "We're going to lose."
And it was two running backs, right? Over
yes.
100 yards?
Yes.
And one of them just came off the couch that week.
That's not good for you, man.
No. That's why we lost.
Mickey, I'm kind of curious. Does what Barham did on Saturday change the rotation or what the look's going to be at Mike and Will, or did they already kind of have a vision for it and we're going to see more of it? It's more of a rotation than we think.
Yeah, it may increase the rotation, right? I just think if he continues to play like that and he stays healthy, somehow, some way, you got to get him on the field. Now, maybe not 55 snaps, right? But between the three of those guys, Winters and Overshown, I think he's got to fit in and maybe get an even split with the other two guys and the three of them. But I just think he's got to – and I think it'll be dependent on what the other team does well offensively. Do they want to run the ball? Well, then I think he might be on the field more than maybe we anticipated. But I don't think that was any, one-hit wonder of what he did, because he was doing that in training camp until he suffered the injuries and it missed about a week and didn't get to take part in the scrimmage against the Saints. And, oh, my. The Saints better be glad he wasn't on the field with what was going on, right? Because he would have been right in the middle of it, I'll guarantee you that. And they might have backed off and said, well, we don't want to mess with this guy.
He's strong, dude. Just watching his upper body, the way he moves guys around, that is a strong young man right there. That being said, with the outside linebackers, too, and your edge rushers, I did see Von Miller talking a little bit with Malachi Lawrence, having some conversation about that. And you kind of have heard a lot of whispers about, hey, he's also good at helping younger guys develop. Do we feel like we're going to see more of that, or you're seeing more of that right now with Von Miller working with some of the younger guys, too?
I saw that the first day he actually he signed one day, was in uniform, wasn't going to practice the next day, and he was talking with those guys off to the side. The thing that stuck out to me during his press conference, he pointed out that I can help this team 10 to 15 snaps a game without even being on the field, meaning helping
Hell yeah.
other guys, seeing things. And, you know, if you got a teammate like that on the field, willing and is secure in his own skin, that he's like, oh, if I help this guy, I'm not going to get as many snaps. And that goes on, by the way, sometimes with veterans. But it sure didn't seem that that was him. He even pointed out that he had been listening to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony speeches and said he heard guys talking about guys that helped them along the way. He said, someday I want someone to go up there and say Von Miller helped them along the way. So, yeah, you're exactly right, Corey. I just think he looks like he's going to be a fantastic teammate and doesn't mind spreading the wealth that he has gained over 15 seasons in the NFL.
I do think that it'll be interesting if he does go into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's like, you know what, go ahead and tack on 40 extra sacks because I was responsible for those 10 to 15 plays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's some sacks that happened even when I wasn't on the field.
Smart. That is smart. I like
well,
it.
You know what he pointed out? He pointed out, he goes, if they had a Hall of Fame for teammates, I want to be in it.
I like it. Yeah.
Man, I might need to pick your brain about Hall of Fame and not Hall of Fame for teammates at some point. Now, in terms,
I like that conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the podcast right there.
In terms of tonight and then tomorrow, what's the vibe usually like at the Star practices as opposed to, obviously, it feels different in terms of fans in Oxnard?
Well, Schottenheimer pointed out that tonight they'll be in shells and tomorrow night they're going to be in pads. So sometimes that has an overriding effect on the intensity of the practice from the player standpoint. But hey, anytime people are watching, you know, you're going to be a little jacked up a little bit more than if it's in some sterile environment. You know, you could see the difference in the practices in Oxnard when there was, you know, 2,000 people there than when there was maybe 700 people there, right? And anytime anybody's watching, I mean, we've all played stuff, right? And when people are watching, yeah, you want to put your best foot forward, and it's a little bit more motivation than if you're just out here, you know, in the back fields here at the Star and well, people are watching, probably people that aren't supposed to be watching are watching from them buildings, right?
What is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if the players factor that into the motivation, right? But when you see people in the stands, and usually what happens is they get a lot of people here that, you know, maybe have never been in Ford Center. And this is an opportunity to go. It's free. And you get to see NFL players on the field that you may not ever get to see or can afford to see. I think it's just a neat event, and people usually show up. And it's a good thing that the practices are a little late, because a couple times they had them early, and I'm going, well, these people are still in, you know, kids are in school. They're not going to get here by 4 o'clock. So the fact that I believe they start at 6 or whatever.
Yes.
I think that'll increase the attendance for sure.
Yeah, if they start too early, it'd look like the White Sox stadium did last night.
Did you see that? Unbelievable.
I think it was the first day of school up there.
Teams, and I saw all those empty seats. But then when you're getting your ass beat by 9 runs, people probably left.
That's a good point. How sweet was that Nimmo catch, too?
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, the Rangers can't hit, and then they go on the road to the first-place team and hit like crazy.
Well, Mickey, I hope you have a great next couple of days for Cowboys, but a miserable next couple of days for baseball fandom, okay?
That's fair.
All right, thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, take care, guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. He is a huge baseball fan. God, I'm needing.
As is Brad Sham.
Yes.
And Mike last night.
They're on opposite sides, too.
Yeah, they are. Mike pointed out last night on the broadcast, Brad texted him. And he was like, you know, a lot of people don't remember, but Brad Sham was a Rangers baseball announcer for radio for a while. Brad Sham told my class the reason he got into this business was because he wanted to go to Cubs games for free. He was like, I wanted to get into the baseball game for free, and I figured being a broadcaster is the way to go watch a game. And so he got into it doing that. But yeah, he was I think Bobby said this morning that they were saying it was the first day of school in Chicago last night. So that was why attendance was so low. So we'll monitor that tonight and see if it's the second day of school sickness.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You heard him. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the most ridiculous way, an unfortunate way, to violate probation. Next on The Fan.
Ooh. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call...
Yeah, Matrix style.
Whoa. Did you see Solo Sikoa?
Yes.
With the Matrix dodge of the bullet?
That was amazing. The man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas.
They do.
And the mayor of the Medfordplex. All right.
Well, we've really screwed your segment up to start out.
Yeah, I mean, he started it, so I felt like I had to.
But did you see I started to do the Matrix?
Yes, that was a great visual medium there. I appreciate that.
In reverse.
Oh. Had to stand up. Okay. I will do that real quick. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. You can answer today's question of the day. Then I'm going to tell you a story from Australia. The most unfortunate way to violate your probation without even knowing it.
Oh,
get to that
here
in just a little bit. This is actually an insane story, and I kind of feel bad for the guy. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. I'm going to set up the question of the day for you by informing you that today is the great American filmmaker, writer, producer, artist, and puppeteer, Tim Burton's birthday. Tim Burton turns 68 years old today. So the question of the day that will tie into my answer, what is a movie or show from your childhood that absolutely creeped you out?
Ooh, okay. So this isn't my answer, but I'm going to tell you a quick Tim Burton anecdote.
Oh.
So... have you ever seen or even heard of the movie Monkey Bone?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's not good. Huh. It stars Brendan Fraser and an animated monkey. And pretty much all of the work in the lead up was from the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas. And so everyone thought that meant it was Tim Burton. But Tim Burton is not actually the person who directed the movie. He came up with the concept and everything like that. But he didn't actually direct it. So a lot of people felt duped. And then that movie is super duper weird. But for me, it was the Land of the Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Those weird creatures that were trying to come after them. That freaked me out. And then the Wheelers from Return to Oz. If you've never seen the sequel to The Wizard of Oz, it is terrifying. So it stars Firouza Balk, but yeah, the Wheelers scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Kevin, was it Caravan of Courage, an Ewok adventure?
Oh yeah.
Where the kid touched the water and then went underneath the water and couldn't get out. It was like a glass ceiling in front of him or something
I don't remember. That could
mystical
be.
Pond. Yeah, the human boy character Mace touches the surface of a mystical pond on the forest moon of Endor. And then a strange membrane-like force field of the water's surface and he can't get out.
That is terrifying.
That freaked me out.
Yeah. Because
drowning is one of my terrifying things. I think it might be a good swimmer because I'm afraid of drowning. You know? Like, that was one of those things that motivated me.
Sure.
But that's not the movie. I'm sorry. That was just wanted to make sure of the scene. It's the movie Labyrinth. Labyrinth is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. Jim Henson made all these Muppets, and I don't know why. He was like, hey, you know what? I make the Muppet Babies. I also make these Nightmare Muppets. And that is exactly what this whole movie was.
I agree. Whether it's the people who take off their heads and switch them around, whether it's the... It kind of feels like a sexual assault tunnel of all those hands.
Yes.
Oh, she said down. Whoa. That movie is freaky.
Huh. I mean, yeah, considering the way you described it.
And I think Jennifer Connelly is like 14 in that movie, and it really feels like David Bowie's sort of lusting after her.
Oh, no.
Somebody also just point out the Dark Crystal.
Yes!
You've ever seen that? Was that yours?
That's one of mine.
Okay, Dark Crystal is the weirdest thing I've ever
seen. It is creepy. And growing up as a kid, people ask, side story, anytime I get asked, how did you get into radio? When did you decide? Whatever. I always wanted to be an entertainer of some sort. Oh. And I kind of landed on radio when I was like, I don't know, 14, maybe. At first, I seriously thought I was going to be a ventriloquist. I really did. I had some super expensive custom puppets, like, that my parents got me for Christmas and whatnot, and I studied it. I had books. I did a whole, like, case study project in fifth grade on Jim Henson. So I watched all of The Dark Crystal, and I was like, the work is ahead of its time. It is creepy as hell.
It is greatly crafted.
If it was animated right now, you'd be like, oh, what a great anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it the creepy vulture people? Is it the pseudo-human people?
It was the vultures.
Freak me out? Yeah.
It was the vultures for me, because the pseudo-human people, as you described it, that's the best way to describe it.
You see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. They didn't bother me as much. Were they kind of odd-looking? Sure, but that's the point. They weren't supposed to look totally human. The vultures gave me nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kept me up at night, because anytime I saw one in real life, that's what I pictured, and I was like, get me back inside of the house or inside of a car right now. Like, it ruined my perception of birds.
I'm terrified of crows. Not because of that, because they've attacked me, but that's a different story.
That's not nice.
But if they stopped down and had a conversation with you, then...
I've seen this multiple times, the Neverending Story. The Neverending Story, until about 10 years ago, I thought was a decent movie that had Artrex or whatever in it, and he was a dying horse.
Have you ever seen the theory that encouraged, like, Gen Xers to just give up and die? They were like, you have to keep fighting, and the horse is like, F that, I'd rather just sink into the mud and die.
But then there's a scene where the giant flying dog says, come over here and scratch me behind the ear, and has the little boy come scratching behind the ear, and he makes sounds that he shouldn't make.
A cut of it out there on the internet, because you know what we do on the internet. It is very creepy.
That's from the movie, dude.
It's very creepy.
It's a clip from the movie. I was watching it one day, and I was like, what is happening right now? Y'all just let me watch this? I'll send it to you, Alec. You're going to have to watch it now.
I would rather not after that description.
Falcor gets an ear scratch.
I just looked up what the hell that name was that kid says at the end of the movie. I don't think I've ever looked it up or figured it out. It was Modenkind, which is German for moonchild, maybe? I don't think I realized that. I just was always like, I don't know what you're saying at the end.
You know, there's one, this is a deep cut for me, it didn't creep me out, but it scared me as a kid, and I didn't want to go to zoos anymore, was Kangaroo Jack. That was one that I just didn't like.
I don't know if I've ever seen. Is Paul Hogan in that?
Yes.
Crocodile Dundee?
Yes, and it villainized kangaroos for me.
Oh.
Like, I just thought that kangaroos were jackasses after that.
The one with Jerry O'Connell and Anthony Anderson?
Yeah.
I do not think I've ever seen that movie.
I saw it once, and I was like, never show me a kangaroo ever again. It was a trigger point.
What about arachnophobia? That meant every spider was going to kill us, and then work together to kill us all.
Yes, that's
a
really
fun
good
movie,
one.
Though.
Did you ever watch The Boy Who Could Fly?
I feel like I have seen that movie.
That's all I got.
Thanks, Corey. From the 469, a movie that messed you up as a child, creeped you out, or a show. From the 469, a dog-faced dragon.
What?
Yeah, a dog-faced dragon.
Never heard of it.
Heard of it either.
Oh, I thought maybe this is just something they encountered while walking around their neighborhood.
That sounds like an acid trip. Let's see, from the 214, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Oh, Falcor is a dog faced dragon. That's what they're referencing.
That's
not a movie.
I never saw Del Toro's Pinocchio.
I think I saw it once, and obviously it wasn't that memorable to me.
It's on my TV. Like it's on, and Adrian was like, "What is that? That looks terrifying." And I was like, "I don't think we should watch it."
From the 469, Legend with Tom Cruise from 1985. That is a really messed up kids movie. I'll tell you this. We did a segment a long time ago. We should probably bring it back. What is the worst movie that you love? This was my submission for that segment. Ooh. I cannot convince anybody. I even tried to get Jess to watch that movie. About halfway through, she's like, "How important is it to you that I watch the rest of this movie?" And I was like, "Oh, do you hate it?" She said, "Yes, I do." Because they have this character that is essentially the devil, but they won't call him that. And I think the music from Tangerine Dream in it is freaking amazing, and I'm not kidding about that. But the movie is not beloved by people. So that is the worst movie that I love.
940, my uncle made us watch Pumpkinhead when we were like 5 or 7.
What the hell?
Never forgot that. Ooh. Is that the one, did the Pumpkinhead like split open as the kid was sitting there watching TV? Is that
maybe.
I don't know, man. I feel like I was scared too.
Ooh, the Halloween movie with the masks. What was that, the third one?
Yeah, Season of the Witch.
Yes, the movie sucked.
Seven more days till Halloween, I'm in Shamrock.
That movie was terrible.
They play a song like 8 million times.
Because of that reason, it was terrible. It was not a good movie, but it did creep me out because I saw it when I was probably like 10, because that's one of my dad's favorite franchises ever. So around Halloween time, he's just got it on repeat, especially if one of the TV like movie channels has it on, has a marathon going. So I saw it probably 3 times in the course of one Halloween season, and it creeped me out because I was like, I don't want to wear a mask ever again for Halloween because I feel like I'm going to get traumatized.
So somebody said the movie Gremlins. That movie is very scary, especially compared to like the second one. I believe...
Have you watched Maximum Overdrive yet?
I did watch Maximum
Overdrive. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
We should. I'm sorry I did not tell you that. I watched the whole thing. So, Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I believe those two movies are what created PG-13. Because both of those movies are rated PG. And parents are like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, we better come up with something because it just used to jump to R.
We wanted kids to watch it, but I guess not kids that young.
Yeah, it traumatized them more than when Optimus Prime died in the Transformers movie.
What?
Well,
the animated movie.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it was very sad.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, that movie came out 40 years ago.
What?
There's been a lot of talk about it. Do you know, I think it's the 40th year anniversary. They're doing an apology tour because they thought they were just switching out the toy lines. And they didn't know that people were like super invested. And so when he died and kids are like crying in the theater, they're like, we didn't know.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And yes, Willy Wonka.
That movie's
terrifying
rated
movie.
G.
Terrifying movie.
And he's talking about dongs in the tunnel. What do you think a schnozberry is?
Well, 1136. I'm going to write that one down.
You can file that under D's.
I thought it was like when your nose, like a booger. I thought it's.
Nope.
All right, before we get to my Australian man story, I'm going to do a very abbreviated version of this because I know Kevin's too scared to. The Angel Reese update!
Let's go.
This and I actually did see.
This one is actually valid because in the same game, she set the single game rebounding record and broke the single season WNBA.
Is it 26 rebounds?
26 rebounds in one game.
That is astonishing.
And this is a real quote that she said in the post game. Quote, last time I was here, I didn't miss any shots. Tonight, I couldn't hit S. So I knew I was going to be able to get them on the rebounding side. And I just love that moment of transparency where she said, I could not hit a shot, but you know what I can do? Get a ton of rebounds. And she did that, breaking both the single game record at 26 and the single season record that was previously held by Asia Wilson. Now!
Oh.
The Australian man story. He is facing 15 years in prison for violating his probation. And now you hear that and you're like, okay, like, good job, dumbass. Don't violate rules and go back to prison. But this story is kind of insane. So according to South Australia police, they call their motorcycle clubs over there bikies. So
okay. Their electricians are Sparkies.
Sparkies.
That's right.
And their carpenters are Chippies.
So one of those bikies, Timothy Ronald Simpson, real person, a 48-year-old ex-convict affiliated with a group out there, headed to the Almond Blossom Festival with his daughter on July 26. He had the chance to win her a prize by stepping up to a shooting gallery with those plastic ducks and trying to knock down the plastic ducks with a plastic rifle. Unfortunately, the footage of him doing so came to the attention of authorities, who arrested him for violating the terms of his probation for handling a firearm and being, quote, unlawfully present at a shooting gallery. Yes, for shooting fake ducks at a festival for his daughter to win a prize,
he violated his probation.
What are we doing here, Australia?
So that's awesome. It does have something to do with a firearm conviction that he had back in 2012. He theoretically faces up to 15 years in prison for picking up the fake gun, as well as 10 years for being present at a shooting gallery. It's unlikely he's going to serve anything close to that, because a judge who oversaw the initial hearing did say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You should have known better. But since it is a fake rifle, we might work something out. And they even said this is significantly different than what Parliament wanted to try to prevent. But the catch here, he wasn't able to secure bail, so he's going to be behind bars until January based on the current court schedule.
What?
So he is going to be in jail for multiple months. He probably won't sniff those 15 years that the law says, but he is going to be in jail until next year because he couldn't post bail.
Insane, dude. Insane story.
That really is insane.
Use some common sense, Australia.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, which NFL teams are facing now or never seasons? Plus, we have a Jed York trailer park update next on The Fan.
Second and three. Burrow lofting end zone. Higgins, did he get his feet in? He did. Touchdown Bengals.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic. Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip and rip it.
So I want you to ponder.
Samantha Ponder.
Teams that are, I'll allow it, teams that are facing now or never seasons. Now, this is based off a conversation we had off air about Joe Burrow. But first, I have a Jed York trailer park update.
Oh, no.
And it's not actually about Jed York. So, you remember when the story came out, one of the things that got mentioned was that this trailer park, or mobile home community, excuse me, was known as a den of prostitution. Well, the management of the trailer park would like you to know that is not factually accurate. They said, the news of this report and arrest in our quiet community is just as shocking to us as the rest of you. We support law enforcement in their efforts, and we really have no other knowledge of this situation, but pointed out that they are a clean, quiet, and affordable place to call home. This is not the type of place that Jerry Springer would ever find people to be on his show, and said it is a coincidence that this arrest took place in their trailer park. So they want you to know this is not a bastion of scumbaggery or anything like that. It's a nice place to live.
Well, that's, you know what?
Smart by management.
I got a ton of appreciation for that, honestly.
Yeah. Is that not the most contemporary reference?
Somebody who wouldn't care. Well, it wasn't.
But I got it.
Jerry Springer in Northeast Ohio? Or am I wrong? He was Chicago, right?
No, Cincinnati.
Yeah, so.
You wrote a check to a prostitute.
For what?
For sex.
Really?
Yep. That's how he got caught.
Why would you write a check?
That's a great question. I'm pretty sure he's answered that over the years. I don't remember his answer.
He was like, I had to make sure it went in the accountant's pockets. If the person didn't really care about the community, they wouldn't have said anything.
Right.
I think the fact that they said this is hey, look, man, we do care around here. Now, sometimes you don't know what goes on in people's homes.
Sure.
How often have you been in your neighbor's house?
Never. Exactly. Well, and where I live now.
Yeah. I've never been in Doug's house next door. I don't know. So there's things.
All right. Now, Joe Burrow, at the end of last week, said, I'm tired of saying next year, next year, next year. This is it. So I wanted to see who is on your now or never list, or I could give you a list and you could tell me if you think these teams fit the bill or not.
Well, I mean, it clearly is the Bengals.
I agree.
Because once this season's over, if they don't do it, he's requesting a trade to the Rams to replace Matthew Stafford.
Holy moly. And see, and that's, I think the Bengals fit the bill. Like, I think the Bills are a great example where...
No, it's not the Bills, dude. They're going to keep doing whatever they can with Josh Allen because they're going to love it. The fan base loves him. They're just going to be like, we got to figure it out. I mean, we're just the next 3 years with Joe Brady is it'll happen. Like, they're just going to, they want, it's not a now or never thing with them.
By the way, they're still talking with the personal seat license holders who are like, hey, what's up with these seats? They're stupid. So they're still working on that. All right. What about the Steelers? The Steelers, curiously...
Well, for Aaron Rodgers, it will be never if they don't do it, right?
Yeah, I kind of think it should be for Mike McCarthy, too.
You think so?
I don't think it is, but I think it should be.
Do you think Mike McCarthy should just pick up where Tomlin left off? Like, that? Like immediately he should be at least that good?
Yeah, probably, but look, they've hitched their wagon to somebody who's not good anymore.
Rodgers?
Yeah, so, or McCarthy.
I'm kind of curious if they're hitching their wagon or they're like, look, man... We needed a quarterback, and now Drew Allard's actually better than we thought.
Right.
And you're kind of fingers crossing that maybe Aaron Rodgers sees that at some point and something, you know, nature inserts itself into the conversation.
Huh. Meaning?
I don't know. The turf reaches up and grabs him, and then all of a sudden Drew Allard's starting instead.
What about the Ravens and Eagles?
So, what's the deal with Lamar Jackson's contract?
I mean, he's under contract through this year.
But they're already starting to have conversations about the future of that of him there. Now,
well, for sure.
I don't think he's anything but a Raven. I just think that the Ravens are like, we would much rather have him. We'll pay him. I don't think a lot of other teams are like, I'm fascinated.
Oh, yeah, no, he's still under contract next year as well.
Okay. Would there be other teams that would want him?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out where he would fit. And because I've saw the great season, Kevin, but I think there's still people that think he's just a running dude and that's what he's always going to be.
Yeah, and I feel like that has been disproven, but...
I agree with you.
Do you think there's any part of the Ravens that are like, no, yeah, we'll figure it out because we want you to keep playing, but by the time your contract's up, you'll be going to your year or age 31
season.
Yeah,
I don't think they have a replacement for him, but I think I think that's a now or never team.
Okay.
Yeah. I think...
Eagles? The rest of my teams were NFC. Eagles, Lions, Rams.
Lions... Because Jared Goff's kind of getting to that point, you know?
Yeah, where you're going to have to redo that and pay him
Rams
again.
Makes sense. Unless Ty Simpson's ready to step in and take this thing over.
He's going to be third string.
Again, it's going to be Joe Burrow anyway, so.
True.
That's an interesting one there. There was part of me that was thinking the Niners.
Ooh, okay.
Brock Purdy's not that great, for one. McCaffrey's, you know, plus they got the substation. But Kittle's aged. I know he just got, he can get back out there and play. Mike Evans is older. Debo Samuel's older. That's an older team that they've been that close many times.
See,
Williams is older.
I think the 49ers have one more year after this just because of the structure of the Purdy contract. But you're just talking about he's not that good. He seems to be very divisive among NFL fans. But his cap hit this year, only 23. Next year, it's $30 million. After that, 56, 72, and 64. So it's going to like...
Oh, man!
Yes, exactly. Previous Corey.
What about the Cardinals?
No. I think it's just never.
What?
Right?
So hold on. But in a now or never situation, you have chosen never.
Never.
So you didn't pick or, you
right.
know?
I don't even think now is an option. I think...
So it's now and never is...
If the Cardinals go 7-10 this year, their head coach should be coach of the year. I will die on that hill. I don't care if a team goes 15-2. If the Arizona Cardinals go 7-10, their head coach is the coach of the year. That's my vote.
I think I want to say the Chargers. We said that, I feel like we said this with Herbert, it's kind of one of those like, look, man, you got the best offensive coordinator you could have possibly gotten to link up with you.
Right.
If you can't do it now, man, what are we doing? But I still feel like, A, we know there's, what, 85 Chargers fans?
Right.
And I think they're like the Bills, where they're just like, what better could we do? We have Justin Herbert. And I think that's kind of where they are with that, so I don't think it's a now or never thing for them. But for him specifically, I think this is the year to prove that.
And then, Alec, if you wanted to keep your eye out for this, Dylan Gabriel is going to start the Browns preseason finale.
What about Kevin O'Connell?
Does he get an extra bit of grace because they did bring in somebody new? Like, I hear what you're saying.
Maybe another conversation for another
Okay.
day. I think that's one we should have sometime.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, for better or worse, did any Cowboys change your opinion of them
better.
In Oxnard? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.